1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Before we get started, let me ask you a question. You want Jesus today? You want more of Jesus? I mean, like, really, do you? Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? Are you an honest person? Because guess what? You could tell me anything. But when you leave here, you have to live with yourself. So answer, are you an honest person? Do you want to be honest? Okay, good. I appreciate the honesty that I can see in some people when they're shaking and nodding their heads here, you know. We want to be honest with ourselves. And God, to work in somebody's life, somebody has to be honest. To even get started with God, we have to be honest about where we are, where we are in life. I don't know if you realize this. I wrote this down. I wrote out a lot of stuff this morning in words so that I could read it, so that I could stay on track. It was just flowing, and I thought it was going to be good that way. But in order... Jesus didn't just come to save us from our sin of what we do. He came to save us from the sin that we are. Do you understand? He came to save us from what's inside of us. Because we do things because of what's inside of us. Because when people treated Jesus one way, if they would have treated me that way, I probably wouldn't have responded the same. Because what Jesus had inside of him was not the same thing that I have inside of me. Jesus had no sin. I have sin. Today we're going to talk about a number of things, but basically it comes down to like this. Righteous, unrighteous. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's look at verse 9. And you know, right before we get started here, I just feel like I'm supposed to ask us. Does anybody have anything they want to share? A testimony? Something somebody wants to share? Okay. Just giving you an opportunity. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. I better put these on. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I'm going to stop right there. He says, don't you know that the unrighteous, what is an unrighteous person? Doesn't do us any good to read it if you don't know what it means. What does it mean to be unrighteous? Do you have an idea? Let's take the simple word let's break the word down. Unrighteous. What word is the main word in that word? Right. So unrighteous means to not do right. Okay? You either do right or you don't do right. Now who gets to say what's right and wrong? God does. If we say what's right and wrong, we set ourselves up as God. Are you following me? So it doesn't matter if I think something's right or wrong. It matters what God has to say. Correct? What is right or wrong? So people are either righteous, they're doing right in the sight of God, or they're unrighteous. They're not doing right in the sight of God. Now let's look at that first part of that verse again. It says, don't you know that the unrighteous, the people not doing right, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? An inheritance. When my mom graduated heaven, we got an inheritance. Okay? An inheritance is something that you receive that you have rights to it because of your relationship with the person. You understand? Gordon didn't receive anything from my mom going to heaven. I did. because I was her son. And because I was a son, I inherited from her. Do you understand? Yes? So it's like receiving. So let's look at the verse again. Do you not know that the people that don't do right shall not inherit, shall not receive the kingdom of God? That means people who don't do right, according to God, do not go to heaven. Now, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time and explain all of this about when we get saved. And, you know, it's not what we do that gets us to heaven. It's what Jesus did. We receive His righteousness imputed to our account. But what I want you to see is two things. One is, do you have Jesus' righteousness imputed to your account? In other words, when you stand before God, does God see you through Jesus? Have you made a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus? I know you go to church because you're here. I know you know about Jesus, but do you know Him? Okay? And in your life, are you righteous or unrighteous? It's not a matter of just keeping a bunch of rules like somebody was telling me earlier. I was raised this way where I was taught to keep a bunch of rules. I know, so was I. We had different rules. That was something I thought was funny one time. I was preaching in Houston, Texas, and I went to a preacher's fellowship, and there was all these preachers, and I had noticed this as I went around the country and dealt with different preachers, and this preacher got up and he said this. He said, when I go to your churches to preach, he said, when I go to your church, you have a list of rules of what you say is right. He said, but when I go to his church to preach, he has a different list of rules. And some of the things on his list are not on his list. And some of the things on his list are not on his list. And when I go to his church, it's the same thing. And he said, and as I go around, and he's telling this to all these preachers in this room, and he says, and as I go around to all your churches, you all, we all have a different list of what's right and wrong. He said, and if I keep your list, you think I'm doing right. But if I don't do what's on your list, then you think I'm not doing right. He says, does that make it right or wrong? He says, what about this? What about this word? This is my standard of what's right and wrong. This is what God says. This is what I want to do. I can go by what I think, what I feel, but I could be deceived. Is that right? Have you ever been deceived? Have you ever tricked yourself? Okay. We have a standard that God gave us. That's why we need to read this book. That's why we need to see what God has to say. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, today, as we read this, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to open eyes, to open hearts, to help us see what you want us to see. I pray that it would be empowered, be led, be directed, be quickened, made alive by you, Holy Spirit. And we just want to exalt you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves before others and before God today. We just commit it into your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Let's read verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, be not deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't trick yourselves. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. To be unrighteous is to do something contrary to what's right. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Are you there? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Why do we have the law? Why did God give us the law? Why do we have that? Knowing this, verse 9, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Remember the last passage? He said, the unrighteous. Now he said, the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine or teaching. The law is not made for a righteous man. When I came to Jesus, I was unrighteous. My heart was to follow the devil. My heart was to try to please me, to do what I felt good. It feels good. When I came in contact with the Word of God, the Spirit of God used the Word of God to work inside of my heart. That's why it's so important to be in church. Because the Word of God preached, hearing it, it's going to work inside of you. Okay? When we get away from the Word of God, we drift. Even as a believer, we drift away from God. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means that you're not living right according to God. You start thinking different. You start watching TV and Oprah and all that kind of stuff. And you start following, well, yeah, it was okay for them to steal because they didn't have any money and they couldn't get it through the government and blah, blah, blah. And you start making excuses for what you do. When I was in my life, I was a sinner. I came in contact with the Word of God. As I started reading the Word, I can't get over this. When I started reading the Word, even though I had a refrigerator full of beer, even though I was smoking a joint, even though I was sitting there puffing on cigarettes, listen to rock and roll. I mean, whatever. And a lot of other things that I'm not even mentioning that were sin in my heart. God met me right there. And God began to deal with me right there. Because God loves you today. I don't care how bad you are, what you've done, what's in your heart. God loves you. He can't. You may not feel His love. He can't bless you because He can't bless sin. When that is what your heart is embracing. And that's what my heart was embracing. But when I started reading this Word for the wrong reason, I started reading this Word just to sell it, to pay my way through college. But as I started reading it, the living Word of God, it began to touch me. Immediately, I put the joint out. Immediately, I'm not smoking, I'm not drinking, I'm like, I am consumed with what I'm reading. As I read this Word, God, the Holy Spirit, was dealing in my heart about my sin, about my condition. Have you ever had Him deal with you about your condition and you cooperated with it? I know He's dealt with everybody in this room. But we often run from it. We often try to gloss it over. We often say, well, we hold up a standard of what we think is right. Oh, well, I do this and I do that. That's why one of the questions I like to ask people is, if you were to stand before God right now and He said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? We're going to come back to that. But ask yourself that question. The law, in verse 9 and 10, it says, the law of God was not made for a righteous man. When I, as a sinner, am reading His Word, the Holy Spirit's dealing in my heart, and I ended up meeting Jesus, accepted Christ, saw Jesus on the cross for me, realized I'm the one who put him there. It's my sin. I'm a wretch. And it's my sin that he's dying for. Father, forgive Harvey, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And it broke my heart. And I called out, God, please have mercy. Please don't give me what I deserve. And Jesus said, good news, Harv. I got what you deserve. I took everything you deserve because I don't want you to get it because I love you. When he came to live inside of me, a number of things happened. The Holy Spirit, one of the first things Jesus did was, I'm getting ahead of myself with my notes, but I'll get over here. Jesus, what happens when we're birthed into his family? The Holy Spirit reveals to us that we need to be saved from what we are, not just what we do. Jesus pays the penalty for each of our sins, nailing them to his cross. His blood alone is the only acceptable payment for my sin. What happens when we get saved? Jesus forgives us. He washes away the guilt and the shame with his precious blood because he became guilty for us. Then we are adopted by Father God through Jesus into heaven. We're adopted into the family of God. I become a child of God. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a down payment of our inheritance in heaven. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of me. And that's exactly what happened when I met Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of me. He is my down payment of my inheritance that I'm going to heaven. He came to live inside of me. When did the Holy Spirit come to live inside of you? I'm asking you today because I'm eat up. When I go to pray for people here, when I go to talk with some people here, but mainly just when I pray for you or when I go to prepare a sermon, God keeps bringing all these thoughts about people that don't really know him. Now, there's those of us that do know him, and you need to understand what happened when you met Christ. You need to understand, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time today taking you through a bunch of verses that explain every little thing that I just got through saying, or even more of what happened when you got saved. But when somebody gets saved, they go from being unrighteous to righteous in the sight of God. And it's not because they became perfect. It's because they admitted, and this is why I ask, are you honest? Are you honest? They admitted, I am guilty before God. I do not deserve to go to heaven. I would mess it up. I have got sinful thoughts. My heart is sinful. I'm selfish. I don't want to obey authority. I want to rebel. I want to do what I want. I want to just please me. I don't tell the truth all the time. Can you be honest? Have you been honest with God? Have you been honest with yourself? Because you know what? I told y'all last week, I want you to live without guilt or shame. But when we're not honest, we're going to live with guilt and shame. That's why so many people have to do all the things they do of their drinking and their drugs and their working, being workaholics and all the things that people do, trying to cover up what's inside because they don't bring it to God and get it cleansed. We need to come to God to get it cleansed. Are you under guilt and shame and condemnation? Or has Jesus taken all that for you? Turn over to, see, in 1 Timothy 1:9, it says, the law is not made for a righteous man. Why? Because before you're saved, or if you're saved and you're not walking with God, you're not obeying, listen to what I'm saying, what's going to happen is, there is a law that God sets up, and this is it. And there are eternal truths, whether we like it or we don't. They're like guidelines. God says, this is how far you can go. That's why the Bible, one of the words for sin is transgression. It's like God draws a line. Sit still, I got it. God draws a line and says, don't go beyond the line. If you go beyond the line, that's called transgressing or going beyond the limit. The reason the law, did you see that in verse 9? 1 Timothy 1? The law is not made for a righteous man. Why? Because when you get saved, one of the things for you to get saved is you have to say, I don't want sin. I see that I've got sin, but I don't want it. And repentance is not you saying, okay, from this point forward, I'm not going to sin. I'm going to live right. That's not repentance. Repentance is you saying, God, here's where I'm at. I sin. I don't even have to try hard at it. I have to try not to do it. It's in me. It's not just something I do. It's in me whether I do it or not. God, here's where I'm at. But I don't want it anymore because God's dealing with you. And you're realizing the penalty and the power of sin in your life. Don't you find yourself that you do things you don't want to do? Don't you find yourself not being able to do what you want to do? What do you think is doing that? It's the devil! Alright? And he's taking you places where you don't want to go. Why? Because you're handcuffed to sin. You're handcuffed to the devil. And he's going to take you where you don't want to go. Jesus is the only one who has the keys. And Jesus can set you free. Now watch. The reason the law is not made for a righteous man is because when you meet Jesus, you don't need the law telling you what's right and what's wrong. You know, you can't do this because the law is like rigid. You've got the Holy Precious Spirit comes to live inside your heart. And as soon as you start to do, even think about something, He whispers to you, no, no, no. No, no, right? No, no, no. And you go, oh, but I've always done this. See, for some reason, we still argue. Now, remember a simple little saying I told you before. There's, in the Bible, there's sheep and there's goats. Goats, Jesus said in the end, He said, all the people are going to be gathered. He said, I'm going to divide the sheep from the goats. The saved from the lost. The ones on their way to heaven. Well, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come and enter into the joy of thy Lord. And then I'm going to say to the goats, He says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. They said, but didn't we do all these good things? And He said, you never knew me. You did good things. And you went around bragging about it. You did those good things not because you were saved. You did them trying to earn credit or trying to be good or trying to, because you wanted other people. You did it for the wrong reason. The reason that the law is not made for a righteous man is because when you meet Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, comes to live inside your body. Before you meet Jesus, you do not have God living inside of you. You are a creation of God. He loves you. If David takes his little tinker toys or what are those little things with the bumps on them? Legos. And he makes, I can't remember all these things, you know. And he builds something out of it. David is like really pleased with it. He likes it. He shows it to everybody. Here, Nate. Here, Mom. Here, Dad. Here, you know, let's call Grandma and Grandpa. Can you see it over the phone? You know, he's wanting everyone to know he made that. You are his creation. God loves you. But we have a fallen nature. Adam and Eve made perfect. God said, don't do this. They chose to sin. They listened to the wrong person. instead of listening to God that they fellowship with every day, they listen to the serpent. They got into sin. They sinned. They fell from favor or right relationship with God. That's why we have a fallen nature. And from that point forward, people were not perfect. Now, little Cayenne born, my little granddaughter, 2 days ago. Now I said she's perfect because she looks perfect. She's acting perfect to me. She's just really neat, you know. I mean, I held her for a long time, and then they took her away from me, and then I got her back, held her for another long time. But she's not perfect. She's perfect as far as I'm concerned, but I know what I mean by that. She's not perfect as far as God's concerned. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is God. He was born in a body. He created a body so he could be born because we needed him. Because we were lost. We had a fallen nature. He wanted to give us a new nature. When you meet, before you meet Jesus, he's not living inside of you. You have a conscience. God gives you a conscience. That's why you know, every person on the planet knows right from wrong because they have a conscience. But because they have a fallen nature, they just try to not listen to it and they do what they want. But then that's why they're miserable inside. That's why we all have been miserable or sad or wanting. Something's missing. We have a void inside of us. And it's God that we're looking for. The reason the law was not made for a righteous man. See, when you don't have God living inside of you, you have to have rules to live by. That's why they have movements, religious movements that have rules to live by. Holiness movement, for example. Or those people that we just dealt with recently, those two preachers that came here. I don't know how many of y'all were involved in that. And we helped them. But they're of the holiness mindset. And they live by all these rules. And their wives and their daughters have to wear long skirts down to their ankles. And they can't wear makeup and all kinds of... They set all these rules up as if that made them righteous. Okay? And what God does is He gives us the law, the Word of God, like Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. And thou shalt not. But it's not for a righteous man. When you have the Holy Spirit come to live inside of you, when you meet Jesus, you become righteous in the sight of God. Because you come to God. Come here a second. You come to God. I come to God. Here, come here. Come here. You're going to be God for a minute. I come to God and I admit I'm guilty before you. I'm guilty. I don't even deserve you to listen to me. I sure don't deserve to go to heaven. I've got a sinful heart. I might try to do good. People say to me when I was growing up, oh, you're a good boy. But before you, God, I know I'm not good. And God said, here's the law. Here's what you got to keep. Even if it was just the Ten Commandments, I couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. God, I tried. I tried to be a good boy. I tried to not do all the bad things. I tried to obey my mom and dad, but still in my heart, even if I did right, I grumbled, I complained, I argued, I made faces. You know, I did all these things because that's what's in my heart. And God says, Harvey, you are under the law. And you're guilty because you're not keeping the law. And I come to him and I say, God, please forgive me. And he says, I'd love to. He says, but I can only forgive you through the blood of Jesus. I don't forgive you just because you asked me for it. Because if that's all you needed, Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. He died because sin had to be paid for. So Jesus died in our place. He died for me. Father, give me what Harvey deserves because I don't want him to get what he deserves. My sin killed Jesus. Remember, he's on the cross. He had done nothing wrong. He's on the cross. And then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God had to turn his back to Jesus. Because all our sin at that moment was placed on Jesus. Your sin, my sin, her sin, all of our sin, the sin of all mankind, was placed on Jesus. And Father cannot have fellowship with sin. So he had to turn his back on Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus cries out, my God, as if he was a man, because he was 100% man. He's bringing it to our attention. He didn't say, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He said, my God, can I bring this to your attention? He says, my God, two times. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you turned away? Because Harvey's sin was poured on you, and I can't fellowship with sin. That sin has to be paid for. And like a lamb, you're going to have to die. And he died. He got what I deserved. Do you get it? Now, thank you. I love you. Now, the law is not for a righteous man. Because when I got saved, I didn't want to sin anymore. When I met Jesus, nobody had to tell me, quit this, start that. I just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Anybody else that have that happen to them? You meet Jesus? I just want to go door to door and tell everybody. I just want to tell everybody about Jesus. Did that ever happen to you? Me? Okay? And I did. I haven't quit. Because it's like, I just want everybody to know him. When I met him, immediately, I meet him, I stood up, I said to the man, take me home. He took me, he dropped me off at a certain crossroads, and a friend of mine came by and picked me up that I lived with and took me home. And nobody told me. I never saw the preacher again. I never saw the man that took me to the preacher again. Never saw him again in my life. But inside of me, everything changed. I just met God. I want more God. How do I get more God? I reached in my pocket and I found a pocket full of drugs. I had $1,000 worth of drugs in my pocket when I met Jesus. Now, this is all the money I had. If I was giving away $1,000 a day, is there anybody in this room that would like it? $1,000. I'm just saying $1,000 in cash. If I was giving away $1,000 in cash today, anybody like it? I don't have any cash on me. Huh? Say what? Show me the money. Show me the money, yeah. I pulled out and I said, you know, this is all, it's all the money I had in the world. I mean, I had a few bucks in my pocket, but that was it. Because I lived from one drug deal to the next. And I looked at it and I said, I don't want this anymore. I just met the one. I said, I thought I was getting high when I did this. But I just met the one you can't get higher than. Why do I want to come down to do these drugs? That just bring me down. So I went in the bathroom and I gave him a swirly, you know? Swirly, okay? And then I looked, I thought, you know what? If I don't want that to bring me down, there's something else in this house going to bring me down. And it was my beer. So I went in the refrigerator and I opened it up and nobody told me to do this. Why did I do it? I said, you know, I pulled them out and I said, this is spirits. You ever seen that on the signs? Food and spirits at the restaurant? They're not lying to you. Food and spirits. They're not lying. You think it's the Holy Spirit? Let me drink some Bud Holy Spirit. Let me drink some Michelob Holy Spirit. Let me drink some Coors Holy Spirit. That's what I'm saying. Is that what you think that's the Holy Spirit? It's an unholy spirit. I reached in there. I said, I don't want this anymore. He changed in my heart. I didn't need to go read the Word and find out, well, how do I live now that I'm a Christian? Inside of me, I didn't want this anymore. I went and reached in my pocket and pulled out cigarettes. And I said, you know, I'm not going to hell. No, you smell like I've been there. You know, I don't want these anymore. So I went in the bathroom and I gave them a swirly. Poured all my beer down the toilet. Gave them a swirly. I don't care. I don't want this anymore. The law is not made for a righteous man. When you get saved, you don't have to read this to know what's right and wrong. But God gives us this so that if there's a question, that's one of the reasons, if there's a question, we know what's right or wrong by what this says. Not because there's some people, you ask them what's right or wrong, and they're going to argue with you, but inside it doesn't seem right. Do you know anybody like that? They want to tell you what's right or wrong, and they're got real judgmental or harsh or whatever. They're usually not headed. You know, you can't get anywhere with them. They're argumentative. Anybody like that? Anybody been somebody like that? Thanks, Glenn. I'm glad you raised your hand. I know you feel better. Okay, because I do when I admit it. In 1 Timothy 1:9, it says the law is not made for a righteous man. When you meet Jesus, you live by the Word, but the Word comes to live inside of you. The Word of God comes to live inside of you. Now as you read the Word, it bears witness. It rings true inside of you. And when you live by that, you have peace with God. When you don't live by that, you don't have peace with God. You may still be saved. You know, if you got saved, you're still saved. But you don't have peace with God. It's not made for a righteous man. If I get saved, I got saved, I flushed my drugs, flushed my alcohol, flushed my cigarettes. Quit listening to rock and roll, just wanted to read the Bible all the time, tell everybody about Jesus. That's all I wanted to do. But everybody around me didn't necessarily want to hear about Jesus. But it probably wasn't that way for you, was it? When you got saved, everybody wanted to hear about Jesus, right? They all just sat down, please tell me more. Huh? No. Well, some people like you and me didn't have a choice. You know, we're going to tell them anyway. But what I'm saying is, what happened was, 3 days after I met Jesus, I went back to hanging around the same people, doing the same thing we did on that day of the week at that point in my life, and it was partying. And all the people that were there, about 50 of them, they're all partying, and some of them were doing drugs they had got from me, and they're drinking moonshine and guys and girls sleeping with each other, and all the things that they were doing. And inside of me, I was with them outwardly, but inwardly, I didn't want to be there. Inwardly, I wasn't comfortable. So I got my Bible. They were used to me being the ringleader. And I got my Bible and I went over and sat in a corner and just read my Bible. And when they passed the moonshine around, I kept passing it. I just tell them, no, I don't want any. When they pass the joints around, no, I don't want any. I just want God. But this little girl comes to me and says, oh, you're not doing this because you're a Christian, right? And I said, yeah. So I thought she's a Christian. So I start telling her about what happened. She said, yeah, I asked Jesus in my heart too. I'm a Christian. She said, but you could do this stuff and still be a Christian. Here, why don't you just drink this? See, that was just the devil in a different form. That was just the devil trying to get me to take something. Here, eat this apple. Don't listen to God. Down in my belly, down inside, I knew it wasn't what I should be doing. But I did it. I just listened to her. And I followed. I just fell just like that, just like Adam and Eve. Just got right into sin. Now, it's like I feel all bad. I feel guilty. I don't feel right. I go back. I turn back to my Bible to try reading it. I'm like not feeling guilty. Nobody taught me what to do. How to get this fixed. When you get saved, man, I want to read this. I want to just read it. Let me just read this, okay? I'm going to, Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 25. I'm not going to read it to you. I mean, maybe I will, but I want to get past it. It says that the law, The Word of God is our schoolmaster to get us to Jesus. Are you under guilt, shame, and condemnation? Or has Jesus taken all that for you? Are you forgiven? And has He cleansed your heart? And has He declared you righteous? Do you know that? Do you know you've been forgiven and cleansed? Jesus cleansed your heart and you got declared righteous by God? Do you know that? Because if you don't know that, that means you're an unrighteous person. That means you're not on your way to heaven. Do you understand? Either you're righteous or you're unrighteous in the sight of God. You're either guilty or not guilty. Are you guilty of sinning? I'll just stop. Are you guilty of sinning? Are you? Have you come to God and admitted that? Or have you come to God and said, well, God, I'm a pretty good person. I help people and I do this and I do that and I try to help my family and I help little old ladies cross the street and, you know, I give food to other people and I try to help people and I do things that I don't get paid for. Aren't I good? You see, you could do those things, but if those things made us good, my question to you, please, why did Jesus die on the cross? How does that pertain to you? Now, some of you in this room, you already know God, have heard this many times. Brother Harvey, why would you preach this today? I want you to know, as if I'm telling you on the secret, that there are people in this room that are not on their way to heaven. They don't know God. They come here, but they don't know God yet. But they want to know God. There's something here that's touching them, drawing them, that's attracting them. There's some reason they're here. Maybe they're made to come. I don't know if they're a kid or something. Maybe made to come. I don't know. But they don't know God yet. Please pray that God would open their eyes. Please pray. If you know in your heart you're on your way to heaven, you know in your heart you've already made peace with God through the blood of Jesus. Pray in your heart for others here that their eyes would be opened. We dealt with a lady. She was related to somebody in this room. We dealt with a lady over and over and over again for a long period of time. And she kept saying, I'm fine. And I said, but what about all these things that you said in your life? You know, you were a drunk and you did this to your kids and you did this to your husband and you lied and you cheated. And she goes, yep, but God loves everybody. He wouldn't let anybody go to hell. And I said, really? What about these verses? And I showed him, nope, God loves everybody and He won't let anybody go to hell. Nope, I'm a good person. I quit drinking and I'm a good person and now I help people and I'm a good person. And one day, after talking to her for months, she was at work, and God was dealing in her heart so much, she walked out of work. She said, I gotta go. She just left work. And she came to my house. She didn't even knock on the door. She just burst in, slammed the door, came and sat down on a chair or a couch in my house, so I don't remember which it was, I could still see her walking in. And she walked into my house, sat down, and she said, I'm not leaving here until I meet Jesus. And that was 11 in the morning. And we dealt with her all day long until 11 at night. Now, do you think you could come and sit at my house for 12 hours? What do you think would happen for 12 hours? What do you think you would hear? 12 hours, and she said, basically, I'm not leaving until I get saved, and you're going to tell me how. That's what she basically did. 12 hours in my house. How many of you want a 12-hour ordeal with Brother Harvey? Huh? Look at you. I love y'all. You're so cool. Now watch this. I know. Watch this. Watch this. We finally called. I wasn't the preacher of the church. I had And I started some churches by that time, but I wasn't the pastor of that church we were in. And I called our preacher and said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do with this lady. I've been dealing with her for, at that time, 10 hours or whatever it was. I don't know what to do with her. I've told, showed her everything in the Bible, and I don't know what else to do. Would you come over here and help us deal with her?" And he came to our house and brought the assistant pastor. They were in our house, I think it was like 1 or 2 in the morning. So for 2 or 3 hours, from 11 at night till about 1 or 2 in the morning, he was there, and all of us were talking to her. Because she was like, "Get me! Get me! Gang up on me, but get me to Jesus!" Because she knew what we had, she didn't have. But she didn't know how to get it. She didn't know how to get Jesus. And let me tell you why. Because part of it was she was not honest with herself. She was not honest about her sin. She was not honest about her own righteousness. If you think you're good, can I just share a little? This is my sayings. You ready? Good people go to hell. Bad people go to heaven. Is that right, Tanner? Is that right according to the Word? Good people go to hell. Bad people go to heaven. Now, Brother Harvey, are you telling us we need to go be bad? No. What I'm saying is if you think you're good, then you're going to hell. But if you realize you're bad and you come to Jesus, He can save you so you can go to heaven. Do you get it? But if you think you're good, you're on your way to hell. I bet. Where was I? So she comes to our house. 12 hours with me. Another 2 or 3 hours with my preacher. And finally he asked her a question. I don't remember what the question was. But she didn't like it. And she walked out of that house and slammed the door. I mean, the wall. It's like 1 or 2 in the morning. Here's this wall. And we all looked at each other and went, "Well, God's dealing with her." 5 minutes later or less, she walked back in the room. She said, rah, 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 whatever she said, you know. It wasn't Bosnian, but it sounded something like that, you know. It was like, rah, 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 you know. And she said, "I don't know about all this," but she said, "I'm going to think about it." So she left. The next day, she was driving right over here at 44th and Breton. And she said she drove up, and there was a traffic light, and she stopped. And she said all of a sudden, a big outdoor movie theater screen appeared in front of her. And all of her sin started playing. Her whole life, her sin started playing on that movie screen. And all of a sudden, she saw her sin as it really was, as if she was standing before God and it was being played in heaven. And she said right there at 44th and Breton, behind the wheel of her car, she went, "Oh no, God!" And she had listened enough to know how to get to Jesus. Because she had heard it a bunch of times from us. Why do you repeat yourself? Because sometimes you need that to get it. And right there at 44th and behind the wheel of her car, she sees her sin, realizes she's guilty. She admits it to God and says, "Jesus, I needed you to die for me on that cross because there's nothing I can do." And she was born again. Guess the first place she went? My house! Brother Harvey! Guess what happened? What? Tell me! One shot that moved! I got the 44th and Breton in this big movie screen! And God started showing me all my sin! Are you brave? That's an individual question, so I need about 50 answers. Are you brave? Are you brave? Are you brave? Do you want to be brave? Would you like to know truth? Would you like to know Jesus and know 100% for sure you're going to heaven? Would you? Then, brave person, here's all you got to do. God, please show me my sin the way you see it. God, please show me my sin. Somebody asked me a question a while back, and I'm giving them the answer right now. Show me my sin, Father, the way you see it. I want to see my sin the way you see it. See, you know about Jesus. But you don't know Him yet. You want to go to heaven, but you're not sure you're going. The only way for me to not be afraid when those two hitmen wanted to kill me, they wanted to kill me. And I said, go ahead. Because I'm not afraid to die. And it's not because I'm good. It's because I've got Jesus. It's because Jesus brought me before the Father and said, Father, Harvey's trusting in me. Is my blood enough for Harvey? And the Father said, forgiven, accepted. Come on in, son. He said, you're going to become my boy. Come on, boy. And I became his boy. Now, I know I'm going to heaven. This isn't in my notes. I don't know if you noticed. I kind of got away from my notes. I want you to look over in 1 John, right now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. When we went to start our first church down in Texas, this is the verse I showed to every Catholic in that town of 10,000 people. 1 John, 1 Ivan, in the back, near Revelation, okay? Not John, 1 John, way in the back here. 1 Ivan, wherever. Okay. See, first, chapter 5, verse 13. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, 13, yeah. Okay? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may hope you have eternal life. Is that what it says? That you may think you have eternal life. That you may try to have eternal life. What does it say? What's the word? K-N-O-W. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Can I ask a question? Does Harvey have clothes on? Do you? TMI. Okay. FYI. For your information, TMI. Okay, here we go. You ready? When I would go to the door, I've done this with thousands of people, maybe 100,000 people, and I'd say to them, I'd show them this verse. These things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I said, do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? If you were to die right now, are you 100% sure? I need a towel when I preach. Are you 100% sure that you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? What if I ask you that? What if I came around and asked you that, Cheryl or Gordon or other people named Raj? Okay, what if? What would your answer be? Do you know what I've heard all over the country? One of five answers. Everybody always tells me one of five, as a rule, unless they know Jesus. This is the five answers I hear. Well, I hope so. I think so. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. And I said, God, what do I say to these people? And he said, ask them if they got clothes on. I said, do you have clothes on? And they go, yeah. I said, well, do you think you have clothes on? Are you trying to have clothes on? Are you doing your best? Are you working on it? Do you hope so? Or do you know so? Well, I know so. I said, if you don't know you're going to heaven, it's because you don't have Jesus yet. You only have a knowledge of Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Anybody getting this? Clear. Okay, I'm just going to read. Please listen on purpose. This is your life. Do you know I love you? I mean, do you know that I care about you? Do you know my whole goal is to get you to Jesus? If you were with us in another church, you know that we would get you to Jesus, and we've done this here. We have people that we've helped to get to Jesus, helped to walk closer to Jesus, helped them with their lives, and then they've come to us and said, I feel like I'm supposed to go to another church. And what do I do? What do I do, Tana? Do I get mad at them? Do I sit them down and try and talk them out of it? What do I do? Is that what I've done with you? Because you've gone to another one, right? Now watch. Here's what I do. I say, please come forward in a service and let us pray for you so we could send you out with God's protection, God's provision, and God's direction, and God's blessing. I'm not trying to keep you here. I want to get you to Jesus. There's going to be times that he's going to move people to other service, other churches. There's times, or maybe you just don't fit here, or maybe for a season, a period of time, you need to go somewhere else while God's working in you or some member of your family before he can bring you back. And we've seen that happen too. I want to just get you to Jesus. I want you to know that. Now listen. When a person is saved from the power, God saves us from the power of sin and the penalty of sin. When I got saved, it was like he took the power, the handcuffs. The devil couldn't just drag me anymore. Do you know what power the devil has in my life? The only power he has is what I give him. What Brian said is right. He has no power in my life. All he could do is make a suggestion to me. Wave something in front of me to tempt me. But inside, it's like, I don't want that. I only want Jesus. Get away from me. That's not my choice. I only want Jesus. When a person is saved from the power and the penalty of sin, they no longer want sin. Those of you who have just met him, tell me if this is right for you. What happened in you? Listen, this is going to help you. But when they get saved, they want to live and do right and please their Savior. They want to live for Jesus. When they sin, because when we get saved, before we get saved, we're sinners. When we get saved, guess what we are? The Bible says we're made a saint. That's one who's made a covenant with God by sacrifice. We brought the blood of Jesus. That's our sacrifice. Made agreement, a covenant with God. When you get married, you make a covenant with a partner. Right, Rod? Sharon? You made a covenant. You're going to live together. You're going to support one another. You're going to forgive one another. When you get saved, you make a covenant with God. You enter into a covenant, an agreement through the blood of Jesus. But what happens is when we get saved, before we get saved, we're a sinner. After we get saved, guess what we are? We're saints, we're sons of God, all these things that Steve's over there saying. But guess what else we are? We're saved sinners. Because there's one kind of person, in the world. Every single person is a sinner. But there's two kinds of sinners. There's sinners on the way to hell, and there's sinners on the way to heaven. There's lost sinners and saved sinners. There's unforgiven and forgiven. You understand? When you get saved, you have the power to live perfect. The problem is we don't live perfect. Why? Because we have seeds of sin down within us. Things that we've lived before. That's why it's so important to help kids get saved at an early age. They have less things for God to deal with them. They can live more holy, more innocent, more pure. But what happens is, as we go along through life, we make choices and we have seeds of sin inside of us. For example, anger. We've gotten mad at our parents or mad at our brothers or sisters. Maybe we didn't forgive. We've got anger, bitterness, jealousy, hate. And what happens is when you get saved and you have those sins inside of you, Jesus forgives you. He washes you. He bursts you into the family. The Holy Spirit bursts you into the family of God. God puts His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. You're adopted. You become a child of God. You're forgiven. You're saved. You're sanctified. You're washed. You're justified. All these things happen that God does for you, and we'll talk about them as time goes on. But when we sin, when we start to go through life, and now we're faced with something and we make the wrong choice. What Jesus wants to do is deliver us from the power of that sin in our life. Because He doesn't want sin in our life. And you don't want sin in your life. Right? You don't want sin in your life. Right? So what He does is, God will allow something to happen in your life to bring that sin to the surface. Man, I'm getting ahead of my notes. I wish I could just read that. Maybe I'm there. Here we are. When they sin and they're enticed and seduced and deceived by sin, the precious Holy Ghost, who can't be seen, but He lives in our hearts, He convicts our hearts that they of what we are embracing and choosing in the path of the enemy. Does that make sense? What I just said? When you get saved and then you sin, the Holy Spirit will deal in your heart about what it is you're choosing that's contrary to God. What you're choosing that's not right. The Holy Spirit will begin to deal with you. And in the beginning, all He does is just whisper to you. Like that. He'll go, it's okay. It's okay. And then if you don't listen, He gets a little more stern. Maybe He'll lay His hand. Now, no, no. And then as time goes on, he does more and more to get your attention. And sometimes He has to even get to a place of withdrawing. Not that you're not saved, but He has to withdraw His protection, His provision for your life, for things to happen in your life to get your attention, because you wouldn't listen when He tried talking to you in a more gentle way. We know the person that's saved, when they do wrong, they know it's wrong and they feel guilty, and the Holy Spirit picks at their conscience tenderly. His urgings and promptings will become stronger until they admit they're wrong and choose differently. That's where 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 10 comes in about if we confess our sin. He wants to bring us to a place. See, God is wanting to get that seed of sin out of us. That thing of anger. Is it okay for somebody to be angry and to vent on you? It's not okay for anybody to do it. So when Shayla does it, then God is going to, he brings that to her attention, and she's like, oh, I feel so bad I did that. And now what you need to do is ask yourself, why did I do it? Because there is a seed of anger down inside of us. And we need to ask God. He's the only one who can change it. See, repentance is not you trying to stop. Repentance is you admitting, this is where I'm at, and I don't want it. Jesus, I need You to come and change me. I need You to come and deliver me. And then Jesus comes and begins to deal with you to get down to that seed. There's a whole root system of anger, of how we respond, how we live, how it affects all of our lives. And He's wanting to not just remove the root system, He's wanting to get down and get that whole seed of why you even started with anger. And maybe it started when you were a little kid and your mom or your dad or a brother who was bigger than you was angry and yelling at you, and you fought back with anger. Or maybe it's because you were like me and you grew up and you were so small, everybody picked on you, and you just got all angry because people picked on you and you couldn't do anything about it. So you got all angry. But see, it's not an excuse. It doesn't matter what they did. If a woman gets raped, yes, it was wrong what the rapist did, but how you respond in your heart is wrong. And when we talk to women and they want to murder the guy and have him mutilated and his body cut up and whatever, I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know. That's sin in their heart. Yes, the guy did wrong, and God's going to deal with him. But now, let's deal with it the right way. When Jesus was beaten for us, the Bible said he was like a lamb before the shearer, and he opened not his mouth. He didn't retaliate. He didn't say, just wait, I'll get you. He didn't. Did he? So if we're going to be like him, and that's our goal, is to become Christ-like, then he's going to, one by one, very gently begin dealing with us to remove those things inside of us. Selfishness, pride, anger, hate, unforgiveness, control, lack of trust, worrying, not headedness. Sin takes us where we don't want to go and do things we really don't want to do anymore because of our relationship to Jesus and our covenant with him. Do you want victory? I mean, aren't you tired of saying, why do I do what I do when I don't want to do it? Why don't I do right? Aren't you tired of saying that? You see, Jesus is the one who, he is your Savior. Not just to save you from sin that you've done and get that paid for, but save you from the sin that's inside. And he has a process of how to work it out of us. And it's not you trying harder or keeping a list of rules. That's why it's not religion. It's not legislating morality. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus, I need you. You want to pray something? Jesus, I need you. I can't do it without you. If you're trying to do it for him, that's religious. You'll never be able to do it. You're going to fail. The only way you can live the Christian life is with Christ. You've got to have him. You may do it, but there's no life in it. He empowers you to live. He empowers you to love. There's some people that are hard to love. Some people that are obnoxious. You ever met anybody like that?
Yeah.
I know you're all looking at me. Quit looking at me. Okay. Okay. It takes God to love. One of the reasons sometimes we don't have a good... Oh, it's okay. One of the reasons we don't have sometimes... You have a hard time in worship is because it takes God to love God. And you need to just tell him, I need more of you just to worship you, just to love you. I'm going to tell you again, an altar is a meeting place with God. If God's dealing in your life, you want more of him, you need him. Maybe you need him as your Savior. Maybe you need him to come and just help you to live right. Maybe you need to come and admit where you are and say, God, I need more of you. God, show me my sin. You want to deal with God, just come and talk to him at the altar.